Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin. Familia, it's week 7. We survived whatever week 6 was. I still don't know what that was. Only two games went over out of 15 games. So it was just, I mean, it was nuts. It was loco. But you know what? We're looking ahead and it's a bye week. It's a crazy week. So this episode is very, very important. So make sure also, before anything, follow Familia FFP on YouTube. Give us a like. Give us a subscribe. You're going to get notified when you get important episodes just like this one. And this one, you know what, Familia, I love having first time guests on because it's kind of like I'm getting to know other people in the industry, especially someone that we've run in the same cookout group circles, but this is the first time we're sharing a screen. So I'm so happy and honored to have our new amigo Commissioner Breeze joining us, and we got connected through the cookout group. And again, all love to Chris Allen for getting this together. Now he's coming to us straight out of Atlanta, the ATL, but you know what? He is Detroit through and through, and his corazón right here. And I tell you, I still have nightmares of the Bad Boys of the late 80s. So if at some point I start kind of shaking a little bit, that's why. So, but hey, you know what? Kirk Gibson, he came to the Dodgers from the Tigers. So all is well. We had the anniversary for that a few days ago. But hey, Commissioner Breeze, you can find his work at P2W Fantasy. And you know we're big fans of P2W because our amigo Nick Scripp, hey, shout out to him. He is Familia. So, and right now, Commissioner Breeze, he is Familia too. So make sure you're following his Twitter timeline, which is one of the great follows out there, because Familia, you know how much Familia is important to me. Familia is numero uno for him. Let's welcome him in. Find him on Twitter at McBreeze11. Hey, el señor, nuestro amigo, Commissioner Breeze. ¿Cómo estás, mi amigo? How are you?
Muy bien. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great that we're here. We're together. And, I mentioned the Detroit roots, and I want to kind of pull on that thread first and foremost. What's the first Lions team that you were that made you fall in love with football? And like, who was your player? Who was your guy?
Just going back to when I was a little kid growing up. You know, I can remember probably around 1990, Barry Sanders, first or second year in the league. You know, I didn't really know a whole lot about sports, but one thing that, me and my dad used to do every Sunday was sit in front of the TV, watch Lions game. And, the more I started watching Lions games, the quicker I started picking up, not only how the game of football worked, but who to root for when I watch football. So, number 20 was my guy. He was one of the best players you will ever see grace the football field. He was just amazing to watch and awful to play against if you are the opposing team. So I was a big Barry Sanders fan. I'm also a big Herman Moore fan, one of the great Lions wide receivers in franchise history. And, early 90s, we were really good, and then we went through a rough stretch, later on in the 90s. Don't really want to get into the unexpected, Barry Sanders retirement, because that took us all by surprise. I mean, it was like a part of you died, whether you were a fan of him or not, a part of you died. Because it was just so unexpected when he announced his retirement. So I never had any hard feelings about his decision to walk away from the game. Although a lot of people, whether it's fans or even those in the media, they had a different position on him. Because in downtown Detroit, they had this, it was a large mural on this big building called Cadillac Square, and it had a picture of Barry Sanders and his jersey number. And, when he retired, they took it down. And that was a big deal because of what Barry Sanders meant to the Lions and the city of Detroit. So, you know, those were good times. Let me put it that way. Those were good times. Those Lions teams, and then of course, you know, the current Lions team, which a lot of us are in a frenzy over right now, because you watch the rebuild that took place back in 2021 when Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes came over to take over. Whew. One of the messier situations you will ever walk into. I mean, many thought that Jared Goff was, his career was over. You know, McVay kind of left him on the island. You know, thank you for your services.
Yeah.
I want to give my guy Matthew Stafford, because I feel like there is a window open for us to win a Super Bowl, which they eventually did. But on the flip side of that, you know, what the Lions have been able to do the last 2 years has been nothing short of remarkable. And a lot of people these days are definitely singing a different tune about Jared Goff.
Hey, you know what? I'm a Ram fan, LA. I thought he kind of got a raw deal. I still thought he could play. What he's doing right now is just absolutely spectacular, because he's doing it. Because coming into the season, I was like, okay, he's incredible at Ford Field, and he's average away from it. He's balled out to get two big games, the game that we just had against the Buccaneers, and then that opener again, where they went into Kansas City and punched them in the mouth on the night that, I mean, how, what was that like for you? I want to know what that was like for you.
When this season, let me go back to May when the schedule came out, when they announced that we were going to headline the season up with Kansas City, I'm like, oh, okay, the NFL, they must see something in us. You know, we already, you know, us locally or fans of the team who's been following along where we're at in the rebuild, kind of had this feeling like we were going to be ascending sooner than later. Then when you get the NFL saying, you know what, we're going to feature you to headline the season, it's like, okay, they think we might have a chance against Kansas City. You know, you had some people who were freaking out like, oh, man, y'all might as well count this one as a loss. And, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much of an underdog a team could be or how favored a team could be going into a game. The game got to get played on the field, and anything can happen on any given day. So when we won the game, it kind of set the foundation for the season, because what better way to start off a year than to beat the Super Bowl champs at their place.
On the night they're getting their rings. I mean, just, oh, man. That to me, it was one of the most inspired victories of this season. So, I mean, I salute to the Detroit, the whole Detroit fan base, because I know what y'all been going through. Go ahead, Nigame.
Let me add this, too. Because a lot of times, when people talk about what this Lions team is doing and they look at that win against Kansas City, people have found ways to discredit that by saying there was no Travis Kelce, there was no Chris Jones. People tend to forget that the Lions were also without key players. You know, there was no Jameson Williams. There was no Isaiah Bugs, you know, our run stuffer. We had key players that was out as well. So, you know, when you talk about a team, it's always important to have full context of what actually happened in the game, instead of just saying, well, they didn't have this player and this player. Who didn't the other team have?
Hey, they had number 15. To me, they had number 15. The Chiefs had number 15. You got number 15. I would take him and 10, you know, 10 high school kids against the aliens, and I'd still put number 15 out there. So yeah, you know what? Anybody who wants to hate on that, they're probably NFC North fans who are not in Detroit or Michigan.
Yeah.
So that was good. I will tell you. I do want to one thing about Barry. I think he's one of the most. It's funny. Our fellow cookout member, Gladys Louise Tyler, a few months ago. She invited me on their Going for Two Live podcast, and we drafted all-time great running backs. And I almost took Barry 101, but I really wanted to get my guy who's been my all-time favorite, Zerl Campbell. The Tyler Rose, and because I always say that my top three running backs of all time are Earl Campbell, and I wish he had a longer career. Eric Dickerson, who's just, I mean, he was just big and smooth. But Barry, like, if I always tell people, if Barry had Emmett Smith's line, he would have run for 20,000 yards. He always was behind that line. He was always getting hit behind that line. Oh, but yeah.
Yeah, Barry was just, if there was an adjective greater than special, that's what Barry Sanders was.
Yeah. I think the perfect description I heard about him was that he could be one-on-one with somebody in a phone booth and still make a miss and then go for 80. Just absolutely special. Absolutely special. So I wanted to see, when did you start playing fantasy football and kind of get that passion and then want to start create fantasy football content?
You know, it's funny because, you know, back in the mid to late 2000s, every year at my family's annual family reunion, my older cousin used to come up to me and be like, kind of nudge me like, you want to play fantasy football this year? I'm like, nah. I mean, and I was already a huge sport, a real life sports fan as it was, but I was foreign to fantasy at the time. And I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, maybe next year. So the following year, he come back to me with the same question. And I kind of just push it off like, I'm not quite there yet. So the following year, this was 2009, I believe, he asked me, I'm like, man, this guy just ain't gonna quit. He really trying to get me to join and play fantasy football. And I said no again, but this time, you know, after, you know, we had the festivities, I'm kind of like, dang, maybe I should look into it and see what it's about. So, and while this was happening, this is when I had moved from Detroit to Atlanta. So I kind of had to shift gears a little bit. And, you know, when I got acclimated down here, I met a guy who was seriously vested in fantasy football, who was like one of my biggest supporters till this day. He's in every single league that I run. He kind of gave me the ins and outs on how fantasy football works. Want to say hi, Steven? Want to say hi? Say hi.
Hi.
Hello, Steven. How are you? I'm Jorge.
I'm good.
Oh man, your dad's on YouTube right now, and you're on YouTube too. How do you like that?
Wait, Dad's on YouTube. Are you on YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow you're gonna see this on YouTube.
Okay.
Not right now. It's gonna be tomorrow. We're not live right now. It's gonna be on tomorrow.
Yeah. So hold on. What I was saying was, he was, you know, showing me the ins and outs, you know, because I had a ton of questions, you know, like, does the real life outcome affect the players that you have? And he was like, you know, the thing you want to focus on is how your players are doing in whatever matchup they're playing in for that week. And I'm like, okay, that don't sound like, you know, too bad. Once I kind of put two and two together, I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and put that leap of faith out there and take a chance and see how I fare in fantasy football. Cause by nature, I'm a very competitive person, but I'm also gracious when it comes to accepting defeat. So when I finally tapped into When I finally tapped into fantasy football, I kind of had a different journey than most people. I didn't start as a player. I started as a first-time commissioner and then as a player. So I probably asked for more than I could chew at this particular time. So I had a little bit more of a steeper learning curve, but after that first year, after I started playing, you know, I made the playoffs in my first year. That was great. I'll never forget my first ever draft pick, Tom Brady. And I end up finishing in fourth place. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, when you start something and you kind of fall short of where you want to go, it kind of raised your expectations for the following year. So I'm like, okay, next year, let me see if I can go up around further in the playoffs. And I end up having my worst year ever to this day. So like I told you a moment ago, I'm competitive by nature and I hate to lose. So I was like, I'm gonna figure this out. I don't know what
it could go either way. It could go either way. Yeah, you could go all and be like, oh, you'd be like, forget about it, or like,
yeah. So, you know, my third year, this is 2014. It all came together. I finally went to the promised land. I felt that high that only so many can feel in a given season, and it was a great feeling. It's one of those things like. I want to say Isaiah Thomas, speaking of the Bad Boys, he said, when you taste winning, you want to taste it again. And that's what I want to do. I want to taste it again because there is nothing like having everybody look at you, who they are aspiring to be or who they are trying to go after to take your place as the top dog in your particular fantasy football league. So that's kind of like my journey as to getting into fantasy football. Now, when it comes to being a creator, you know, this was much further down the line because I was kind of indirectly creating, but it was more so for my league mates because I put a lot of work in to make sure that all my leagues are run a certain way each and every year. It wasn't so much to help, you know, hundreds and thousands of people that we run across in social media every day. It was just, you know, 10, 11 people who I'm in a league with. So, you know, further down the line, when I started being more active on Twitter, because there was probably like a 5-6 year gap where I was MIA on Twitter. Because I didn't know that there was a fantasy football community that existed, and now it's as large as ever. You click on anything, you seeing something fantasy football related.
Turn it down.
I'm like, you know what? I'm all about helping people. Let me help a larger group of people who share the same interests and goals as myself, so we all can win together. Sometimes that comes at the expense of me not winning, but to hear somebody else tell me, hey, because of what you said, I was able to win, and it was because of you. That gives me a lot of joy and satisfaction as a content creator because it lets me know that I'm helping somebody else reach their goal. And that makes me happy to see that they're happy.
No, that's and that's all that you can ask. That's doesn't it feel like you could, like you won too?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's awesome. Yeah, whenever you have something that, that
mind you, I haven't won a fantasy football title in 5 years, but that's okay.
hey, we got 2 more months. We got a couple more months.
Yeah,
to, you know, 2.5 more months. Yeah,
I've been close. And it just hurts when you just fall short. It hurts.
Oh.
Oh, believe me. I've still got the wounds from last year when DeAndre Hopkins was basically shut down by his own quarterback on Christmas night. And I lost by fractional points. And I'm like, all he needed was
wow.
And then the next week, my team blew out the team in the consolation championship. So anyway, enough. My Favela community has heard that sob story enough. So I know. Hey, you know what? You're getting back in the winner's circle this year. I know it. I wanted to give a quick shout out to the Cookout group. Who got you in and kind of like how cool is it to be a part of this community, this smaller community within the community of all these faces of diverse communities who are, you know, showing that really this fantasy football community really encompasses all walks of life.
You know, it's an interesting dynamic when you talk about how I got exposed to the Cookout group because, Phil or FF Porkman, he's one of my guys. You know, we talk almost every day, via text or whatnot, but I believe it was through him who told me about Chris and the Cookout group and how it was an opportunity for us to come together to not only share ideas, but also to support each other's content and whatever you want to throw out there that may help further the goal that we're trying to pursue with the Cookout group. All ideas are welcome. So I'm definitely blessed and privileged to be part of the group. It's a lot of amazing minds inside the group, and it's only expanded since the early days. I mean, I think I've lost count of how many people is actually inside the group.
We're up over 50.
And yeah.
And there's a friend of mine I got to add. So this is, it's spectacular. I just love, I loved it when we were together in Canton, because it was just like, the conversations were just, it was great that it wasn't just a bunch of white guys from the Midwest, talking ball. I mean, it was just like all the different perspectives were just fantastic. And there are people who like helped to boost up the Cookout group, people like Marcus Grant, Chris, and I mean, they don't need to do this. But they are, because they want to see, they don't want to be the only ones. They want to see more people coming up. And that's why it's just, it's beautiful. I'm actually wearing my Cookout group shirt. So
nice.
So yeah, I love it. And there's more coming. So, familia, that's why I love having these conversations. That's why I'm inviting so many people from the Cookout group to come on. And you've got the logo right there up in the corner of your box, but, no, this is awesome. And so now I want the next awesome part. It's time to talk some ball. So week 7, we got week 7 coming up. And, you know, like I said at the beginning, I mean, week 6 was kind of like a punch in the face. I made the joke that I thought my phone was broken because I wasn't getting any, I was getting hardly any alerts, scoring alerts on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
it was such a crazy week. So now we're turning the page, and I want to start. So what I'm going to do is I got a few games set up that we could talk about. And so the first one, we're going to go to Baltimore, where your Lions are going to take on the Ravens, and Baltimore is 3-point favorites, 43-point over under. From a fantasy perspective on this one, we still don't know if Jahmyr Gibbs is he's limited in practice, so we don't know if he's going to be active. We know David Montgomery is out. Looking at this game, kind of how do you see the Lions attacking the Ravens in this one from an offensive standpoint?
This is such a interesting game for so many reasons. You have a team in Baltimore whose defense is playing pretty good for the most part, but I think it's fair to argue that, you know, who have they played that could really challenge that defense? So now you have the Lions, who is humming on offense and whose defense is pretty much matching what the offense is doing. So I really want to see how the Ravens' defense can match up with the Lions' speed. Jameson Williams had such a huge confidence booster last week in Tampa Bay.
I
can only imagine how excited he's going to be to get on that field in Baltimore. This is the best offense that the Ravens have seen all season. It's going to be a test for both teams. Obviously, for the Lions, you know, we're going into another hostile environment in Baltimore, but how hostile will it be when you got to see a blue in the stands? It seemed like the Lions fans traveling everywhere these days on the road. So
that beautiful
power blue. It could be another home game for all we know, even though we're in Baltimore. So something has to give here, because you have a Lions defense who has not allowed a 100-yard rusher on the season. They haven't allowed a rushing touchdown since week two. They're number one against the run. So obviously the Ravens are going to have to attack the Lions through the air. And on the other side for Baltimore, they're pretty good against the pass. So that's why I said something got to give here.
Right.
Because they're kind of good at one side of the ball. Lions on running, Ravens on the passing side. So I love Mark Andrews in this game. He's a great play. That's the one area where you can attack the Lions at the tight end position. They're giving up the seventh most fantasy points to the position. I will say, if Brian Branch play in this game, I'm not as excited for Zay Flowers' outlook, because that boy Brian Branch, that's a dog right there.
Bad man. That is a bad man. And you're right. I mean, it really does look like, you know, the Lions where they seem to be vulnerable on defense is on the back end. But yeah, Brian Branch definitely shores them up there. I mean, but they do have a great pass rush. Aiden Hutchinson is you know, has really, really been a difference maker there. You know, do you think if Gibbs comes back, they're going to give him enough of a workload, or they're going to kind of ease him back since he missed two games?
If you would have asked me this a week ago, I probably would say it's status quo, but because of the nature of our running back situation,
yeah,
they have to give Gibbs the ball in space, you know, utilize his strength. I trust Ben Johnson. He's been nothing short of amazing when it comes to dialing up plays. I got to imagine, you know, if Gibbs suit up in this game, that's another thing. Gibbs, like J-Mo, represents speed. How will the Ravens be able to match up with Gibbs' speed? You get him out in space, I want to see how the defender's going to react to that from the Ravens. So I think if Gibbs play, he's going to see a lot of – well, let me preface. I'm not saying a lot of work as in 20 carries, so we know that's not realistic. But, you know, I can see 10 to 12 carries, maybe 7-8 targets potentially. And, you know, based on how that distribution goes, I think he could have a good game. But like I said, I really want to know how Baltimore match up against the speed of the Lions, because Baltimore, they're still a team that's still trying to figure it out on offense. Right. They really haven't had that blow up game offensively as a team. I'm not sure what's going on as to why they're not clicking at this point in the season. You know, this ain't week two, week three. We talking, we almost at the midway point in the season, and we still ain't got our offense going the way that we want to. That's a problem. And now you got the Lions in front of you. You got to have all systems go, because you can't figure it out the way the Lions playing. They're going to expose you.
Oh, yeah, and definitely. And has Jared, you talked about earlier about Jared Goff, how well he's been playing. Has he graduated to every week starter in single QB leagues?
I'll put it this way. If Jared Goff has another game like he did last week, he's a must-start rest of season. I don't care who's on the schedule, because yeah. Nobody saw what he did in Tampa Bay coming. A lot of people had him on their bus list. Don't start him. Sit him. And he go out here and throw for 350 yards,
yeah.
30 for 44, two touchdowns.
No, I agree. I 100% agree. I think he does that. He's got a lot of I remember looking at his schedule, and he's got a lot of dome games there at the end of the schedule. So we know how he loves the fast track. So all right, so let's pick this game. I have a feeling I know where you're going, but so it's Baltimore -3, and do they go over?
This game, I don't think it's the over.
Yeah,
I think this is going to be a gritty, grinded out game. Obviously, it can go either way. Me, personally speaking, I'm going to say I want the Lions to win, but this game can go either way. It's just going to come down to how the Ravens come out to start the game, because, you know, the way you open the game and the way you open up a second half kind of dictates how the game is going to play out.
I agree. I think this game is going to be a rock fight. If this game were in Detroit, I would expect a lot of points in it. But I think
definitely take the over if the game is in Detroit.
You always take the over when the game's in Detroit. Yeah. Always. Just, you know, death taxes and bet the over when the game's in Detroit.
Exactly.
I think there's going to be a lot of I think that the Lions are going to show that they can go in and like get into one of those, like, you know, but, you know, kind of like one of those knockdown, drag out, bare knuckle fights. And I could, you know, the one thing is Lamar Jackson is that guy who can make a play and just like change a team, change a game. So, but you know what? Gosh, I think actually the Lions are playing better offensively right now. So, you know what? I'm gonna be a good host, and I'm gonna stick with my guest on this one. So we'll stay on the same side. We'll be on the same side with Detroit. So on this one. So let's stay on the Eastern Seaboard. Sunday Night Football. I think this is one of the most anticipated games of the weekend. I just finished writing something that a little debate with Scott Pianowski at Yahoo, where we took one team and I took the Philadelphia side on this argument. Philadelphia and Miami on Sunday Night Football. It's going to be 52 over under. Right now, the Dolphins are 2.5-point favorites. Honestly, I mean, this game almost feels like the defenses are playing into the offense's strengths, where the Eagles are a little bit more vulnerable on the backside on defense. And we know that what Tyreek Hill's been doing, gosh, I wonder how amazing. But then the Dolphins are a little bit more vulnerable against the run, and DeAndre Swift is playing fantastic. So this game, who are you looking for to really, really show out in this game?
Well, there's going to be a bit of a non-fantasy take. I want to see who win the battle up front in the trenches. The Philly O-line in the Miami defensive line, and vice versa with the Miami O-line and the Philly D-line, you know, that usually dictates how a game is going to play out. You know, on paper, this should be a track meet, but I will say it's a great spot for Dallas Goedert. Miami is vulnerable to the tight end position. I like him to have a good game. And then you got Devonta Smith, who's dealing with a hamstring injury. So I'm not really expecting too much from him in this game. I mean, A.J. Brown is A.J. Brown, so he's going to get his.
I mean, as fantastic as Tyreek Hill has been, A.J. Brown's number two in yardage among wide receivers. So, definitely, like you said, having his own incredible year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he'll definitely get overshadowed when you mention a name like a Tyreek Hill, because he's on such a high pace with his production. I mean, of course, if I'm the Philly defense, I am absolutely terrified to be lining up across from him on the field.
Yep.
And but yeah, I mean, you know, DeAndre Swift, he should have a good game in this one. You know, Philly need to bounce back from that loss to the Jets last week. I think they will bounce back in this game. I think Philly, they should win this game. Keyword, they should win this game. But, you know, it's hard to slow down the number one offense in football by a wide margin in Miami. I mean, what they're doing on the field each week is just mind-blowing.
It's different. I mean, I know they're calling it the greatest show on surf. absolutely. I mean, to me, the most incredible thing about this is they're playing so well. And Jalen Waddle, the guy who got over 1,300 receiving yards, has not gotten unleashed yet. So I think once he gets going, I think it's just going to, I don't know how much he's going to take away from Tyreek Hill, if he does, but I love, and this is one thing Scott talked about, how concentrated the targets and the touches are. I mean, you know, it was Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane when that rookie phenom was doing everything. But really, it's like, you know, that Tyreek Hill's getting the ball. That to me is the greatest thing. I think the Eagles are a little bit more like that right now. Kenneth Gainwell is getting some, but it's DeAndre Swift. And so I remember I was looking when I was watching very closely the Miami, the Dolphins and Chargers game earlier this season, and the Dolphins were really playing, you know, playing their defenders back and kind of almost giving them the opening up running lanes for Austin Eckler, and he got 117 yards that day. And last week, Chuba Hubbard had 88 yards and, you know, scared the bejesus after everybody, because when they were up 14-0 and all the people who bet 14 bet on the Dolphins plus 14. But yeah, just spectacular game. I think I really, really hope this makes up for last week and just gives America a great game. And Philly, just like you mentioned it, Philly hasn't put it together yet. But I mean, could it be that Miami takes, you know, kind of like brings that out of them? Like they're going to need to, you know, kind of grab that big punch from the ground and give it back to them so I really think that's going to be that's going to be a big one. So so you mentioned Philly, but do they cover? And there's that half a point, 2.5 points, and a 52-point over-under.
Yeah, I think they cover this one.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think they cover. It's one of those situations where you know who you're playing against. So you know how they talk about when good teams don't always play to – They play down to like their competition. This ain't one of those situations right here. You got good competition coming in to play against Philly at their place. They're going to raise their level of play for this matchup. And then again, when you factor in, they're tied with San Francisco and Detroit for the best record in the NFC. you have to step up your level of play if you want to remain in that conversation. Absolutely. Because Philly and San Francisco, they got to play each other later on in the year. So you don't want to have one more loss than either San Fran or Detroit when they meet up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I forgot to mention one question. You know, we talked about Tyreek Hill's incredible start to his season. Right now he's on pace for over 2,000 yards. Your man, Calvin Johnson, still holds the record. You know, Cooper Kupp got close, but could Tyreek Hill be the one to break that record?
It's possible, but I'm going to say I don't think it happens. Only because of what you said earlier about how Jalen Waddle hasn't really got it going yet. And, you know, at some point, it's only a matter of time before Jalen Waddle gets it all the way going. And that'll bring down the yardage, the pace, rather, that Tyreek is on a little bit. But he should be good for at least 1,800 receiving yards.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. 1,900, it's gonna be. Hello, is that Steven again? Hi. awesome. You know, I could see this game being like 37-35 or something, just like the Super Bowl was. And you know, there's a part of me that wants to say that Miami can cover and just make it, you know, make it a 2-point ball game. Hello.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. It's certainly possible.
That's awesome. All right, well, we're gonna go a little bit further west. Kansas City. Kansas City hosting the LA Chargers. The 48-point over under. So this is another game that could shoot out. I mean, that both offenses sputtering of late, but I mean, the quarterback, I mean, it always seems like ever since that first game where he had to come in as an injury replacement for Tyrod Taylor, and then he threw over 300 yards, Justin Herbert seems to have great games against the Chiefs. I believe it's 4 out of his 6 games in his career have been 280 or more yards. Could this be another shootout?
I got some bad news. I do not see it happening this time around. And I'm going to mention one big reason why. For those 4 out of 6 games that you just talked about with Justin Herbert having, I think, 280 passing yards.
Yes.
Mike Williams is in those games too.
Yeah.
He has no Mike Williams, and he is the Chiefs killer. And that's going to make a big difference in this matchup, because right now the Chargers, they don't have a 50-50 guy or a guy who can stretch the field right now, because Quentin Johnson, he just not there right now.
It's not there.
And on top of that, the Chiefs' defense is really good. So, and I believe across every position except tight end, they're giving up the 10th or higher fewest amount of fantasy points at, you know, quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. So I'm not expecting a shootout in this matchup. I believe Kansas City, they will, you know, score the implied points that they have for this slate, but the Chargers will not.
Oh, that hurts my heart, because I so want to see the Chargers put it together and Justin Herbert put it together. He was one of the guys before. I mean, very few of the quarterbacks other than Tua have been consistently great. Even Mahomes, even Hurts, even Allen. But, you know, Herbert was like that in that next tier that I wanted to see. And that's the thing. You talked about one of the things that's very underrated. The Chiefs are 5-1 right now, not because of their offense. They're 5-1 because their defense has been absolutely fantastic. One of the best defenses in the NFL. So you're right. They could be giving, you know, Justin Herbert a lot of fits, that, you know, when they get a lot of defensive pressure, you know, they are one of the teams that can get a lot of defensive pressure on the quarterback. And that could be the difference. That could be the difference. Isaiah Pacheco on the Chiefs side. Could this be a big game against that Charger running defense that really hasn't stopped anybody for a while?
Oh yeah, play him with the utmost confidence this week.
Oh, I hear you. Is there a receiver you want to play on the Chiefs? I mean, we're talking Mr. Taylor Swift, you know, Travis Kelce. We're going to leave him out. We know you start him. Don't even think about it. No, olvídate. Don't even think about it. Just play him. But is there anybody? I mean, they just added Mecole Hardman. Is there anybody you want to play with confidence this week?
Yeah, Rashee Rice. Ooh. I like him in this matchup. The Chargers are giving up the most fantasy points to wide receivers. Everything signals this could be a breakout game for Rice this week. You know, he's been more involved, you know, route participation and snaps. And this is like a squeaky wheel type of matchup so we can really see like a potential breakout game here. And, you know, it was people talking about players to buy low on, and this Rice is one of those guys. And it could be very possible that after this week, that window is slammed shut.
I think you're right. I think Keenan Allen. Do you play Joshua Palmer on this one?
Yeah, I'm okay playing Palmer. Yeah. Outside of him and Keenan Allen, I don't really have any. I mean, of course, Austin Eckler goes without saying, but outside of those players, I don't have no interest in nobody else from the Chargers in this game.
Yeah, I'm definitely sitting Quentin Johnston for a while. I don't think I'm cutting him yet. Because there will be a point where they're going to need him. And so I think somewhere around week 10 or 11, if he hasn't shown anything, then maybe I start thinking, and I've got a potential playoff team, then maybe I make that hard cut. But Gerald Everett may be a possibility because, you know, he definitely gave him a you know, a 1 yard touchdown pass last week. So he's a flyer with so many tight ends, you know, so many good players on
Mom, throw your phone on the floor.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. Well, we'll get it. You're picking the Chiefs on this one?
Yes.
Plus 5.5. So I'm gonna go with the team in my backyard. Cut. You know, I think the Chiefs win, but I think the Chargers cover. I think it's. I hope that they make it a tough game. Did you want to add something to it? Or
No. I was just interested by you saying you think they cover.
I think they cover that 5.5 point. That 5.5 point. Always kind of scares me a little bit. So yeah. I feel that this is going to be a field goal game. I think Herbert might just do enough to make it interesting. I totally get what you said about Mike Williams, but I think Herbert saw Monday Night Football that he didn't make the big play when he needed to play, and so there might be a little bit extra laser focus to be better this week. So we'll get into let's you're in Atlanta, so the passing game has hit modern times a little bit the last couple weeks, where Desmond Ritter's gone over 300 yards. Going to Tampa Bay, especially after Jared Goff, you know, kind of took them for over 300 yards. Yeah, what kind of game do you see this being?
I think the Bucs are going to be real motivated to come out and make this a get right game against their division rival, the Atlanta Falcons. I don't expect Ritter to pass for 300 yards in this game. They will have to – Atlanta, I'm speaking of, will have to pass the ball again. because I don't believe, yeah, they're not favored in this matchup, but I think Tampa is the better team, and they're going to look to keep their division lead in the NFC South.
One thing that's interesting is, and I just wrote about this. It's interesting the route participation that Bijan Robinson has had. He was second in routes run last week, and then he had 8 targets on the week too. So it really looks like they're trying to work him into that Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler type of role. I just rewatched the game yesterday, and that's what I kept seeing him split out wide and not running routes out of the. Had you been seeing it?
To be honest, I've been a little bit flabbergasted by how Arthur Smith been utilizing Bijan lately. Not so much in the passing game, but in the running game, because you're giving Algier basically 50-50 work. And, you know, you draft Bijan 8th overall, and you're expecting him to have a heavier workload. I'm not sure if it's just one of those things where they still trying to see which way they need to go moving forward as far as snap reps and stuff like that. But I would like to see Bijan, you know, be a little bit more involved in the running game. Now, I get it's not an ideal matchup trying to run against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
But if we can see that he's getting 18, 19, maybe even 20 carries, we can see like it could be a shift coming to where we can see that big blow-up game from Bijan, which we haven't seen yet this season. You know, he's had games, you know, you get 20, 21, but we talking about that 25-30 point fantasy game. We haven't seen that yet. So I don't think we'll probably see it this game, but if the signs are pointing in that direction from this game, that'd be the most telling part in regards to how we should be looking at Bijan Robinson moving forward, because right now I do believe that he is a trade for candidate.
Oh yes.
And you know, I was trying to think of some names. You know, you could potentially Raheem Mostert, for example. You know, you can get Bijan for him. You know, because Mostert is playing at an unbelievable level right now. And imagine if that was Bijan Robinson. Twitter would go crazy. Twitter wouldn't exist no more.
It would. Oh my goodness! I just mean that would be nuts. I mean, you know what? If you could offer up a wide receiver one for Bijan, I would take Bijan for just about anybody not named Tyreek Hill right now. Because even though. And I know there are some frustrated fantasy managers out there who are looking at the fact that he's only got 2 touchdowns and neither of those 2 touchdowns was on the ground. I look at him and he's still on pace for almost 1,700 total yards on the season. So I mean we're talking I think he's going to get more work in the passing game, and I think he's just going to become. He's going to be home problem in this league, and it's going to be fantastic. I'm excited for him. On the Tampa side, Baker Mayfield definitely. You mentioned it. There was talk of them kind of like taking that, you know, kind of like coming back and being, you know, kind of like cleaning things up. The Falcons are tough to run against, and Rashad White hasn't been. But could we be looking at potential big games for either Godwin or Evans this week?
Yeah, absolutely. you know, you just alluded to it. You know, when you can't attack a team through on the ground, you know, there's only one other option to try to do it, and that's through the air. And I do believe that Godwin, of the two receivers, will probably have the better game, because I believe A.J. Terrell will probably be lined up across from Mike Evans, and he's one of the better shutdown corners in the NFL. So I do like Chris Godwin to have a decent game in this one. Not so much from Mike Evans. I mean, I don't think he'll give you a zero, but I'm not expecting a ceiling game from Mike Evans in this one.
I'm totally with you on the Godwin call. Plus Evans, you know, there's still question marks if he's all the way healthy from the hammy. So hopefully he's all the way back. All right. So I want to do rapid fire on the rest of the games. We're just picking against the spread. Rams 3-point favorites at home against the Steelers.
Give me the Rams there. I believe they cover on that one.
I'm with you on that one. I'm gonna see if we're gonna be we disagree on any of these. The Raiders are 3-point favorites at Chicago. There's, you know, and this is the battle of the backup quarterbacks. No Jimmy G, no Justin Fields. It looks like no Justin Fields. We already know Jimmy G is out.
Yeah, in spite of that, I expect the Raiders to cover in a big, big way.
They still have a healthy Josh Jacobs. They still have a healthy, hopefully healthy Davante Adams. So, how crazy! I would not have expected. I'm with you on this one too. Cleveland Browns at Indianapolis. Cleveland coming off of that incredible win over the 49ers, 2.5-point favorites in Indy.
Yeah, give me the Browns there. I believe their cover. I think Gardner, he will be good for a couple of turnovers in this one. That Cleveland Brown defense is just lights out right now.
Oh, yeah, they're different. They are different. I picked them up in my Familia League, and because nobody wanted to play them against the 49ers, I'm like, I'll play them against the 49ers. And home against the 49ers, give me that one. So another weird game, Buffalo at New England. Buffalo 8.5-point road favorites in New England. When is the last time you saw that?
It's been a while, but honestly, I think Vegas being a little generous with that one.
Ooh, does that mean you think New England?
I think Buffalo's going to beat them by a lot more than 8.5.
Road favorites. Oh man, that one's gonna be. That's gonna be quite.
New bad. England, like they're just broken right now. They are broken.
Yeah. Mac Jones it's rough for Mac Jones. Nothing's easy for them right now. Nothing is easy. Mm-mm. Okay, we got four more games to talk about. Washington at New York Giants. Washington is 2.5-point favorites. We still don't know if Daniel Jones is starting.
If you ask me right now, I would say the Commanders cover. But if Daniel Jones is able to play in this game, I don't think they cover.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's – there's a part of me that wants to take the Giants. Giants at home, they really showed out last week against the Bills. The defense really came to play. The Washington offensive line has, you know, allowed Sam Howell to take – I'm taking the Giants on this one. But there's part of me that always hopes for good things for Tyrod Taylor, because it seems like he always gets hurt and like lets in a rookie quarterback to do well. So, all right. Just a couple more. Arizona at Seattle. Seattle 7.5-point favorites.
This is an interesting one.
That half a point.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think this will probably be one of the more competitive games on the weekend, in my opinion. I think Seattle will cover, but I think Arizona will make it interesting for a little bit.
I, I think you're right. I think they're going to pull away at some point. Geno's due for a breakout game. The Arizona defense has definitely been bending, and giving up some yardage of late. They're definitely balling out, but yeah, I could see them winning something like 27-17, but winning by like 10 points, especially at home. All right, two more games. Green Bay at Denver. Green Bay 1-point favorites on the road.
Yeah, this is a tricky one. You know, the Broncos is like that squeaky wheel across the board at all the positions, but the game is in Denver, so there's that dynamic right there. So I don't think the Packers covering this one. I actually think this is going to be a pretty good game, a competitive game. It may come down to a last, you know, second field goal, but I think this game stays pretty close throughout.
This one's going to be an ugly game. Jordan Love, I hope he kind of fixes some things, and gets a little more chemistry with Christian Watson. To me, if Aaron Jones is playing, I'm taking the Packers to win.
Yes.
I really feel like the offense works better with Aaron Jones. So I'm hoping. Plus, I'm also hoping because I get a lot of Aaron Jones on my teams. So purely selfish reasons. And the last one, Monday Night Football, San Francisco at Minnesota with no Justin Jefferson, 6.5-point favorites for the 49ers. That's a very interesting line. Very interesting line.
Can we just offer our prayers for Kirk Cousins for this one?
Oh, he's just
because this,
yeah,
this one here. I honestly believe this game could get out of hand for a number of reasons. You know, the Niners, I'm sure they're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder coming off the way they lost that game off that missed field goal in Cleveland. Then there's the Kirk Cousins playing in prime time, but not just against any opponent. This is the 49ers defense. So I got major concerns for him in this matchup. Like I said, I really think this game could get out of hand early. And the 49ers, they probably smash the over on this one. I'm just concerned with where are the points going to come from Minnesota.
I mean, Jordan Addison showed a little bit last time, and I think that's the only way. They're not going to be able to run the ball. You don't run on.
Yeah, and this is a much tougher matchup for Jordan Addison with Hufanga, you know, potentially playing across from him. So I'm really wondering where are the points going to come from in this matchup.
Yeah, maybe TJ Hockenson, but
and
right now Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams, they're all considered day to day. They haven't been ruled out. They're honestly, when one of the things that I made my bold pick of the week, that Brandon Ayuk's gonna have a big game. Because I think that Minnesota secondary is very beatable. They've been beatable all year long. And I know they've been blitzing like crazy, so that's leaving those defenders on an island. And I think Brandon Ayuk is going to beat the defenders. And Brock Purdy's going to, you know, make just enough plays. I think he's going to go over 100 yards and score a touchdown. So,
yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree 100%. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, start Brandon Ayuk with confidence, familia. Oh my goodness, mi amigo. I want to close up shop because I know, like I said, your familia also wants to go to bed too. But one last question. I always close it out, and you know, familia FFB. You know, we're always celebrating Latino culture, Mexican culture. That's the my raza, my own family background. I always love hearing my guests' favorite takes, and I've heard that there is some good Mexican food in Atlanta.
Yeah, you know, we got a few Mexican spots that we like to go to, but just speaking strictly on Mexican dishes that
yes
we like in this house, You know, we love enchiladas. We love, you know, Mexican pizza, burritos, nachos, really anything Mexican. Because Mexican is like our favorite food, believe it or not. It's our favorite. It's the food that we eat more of than anything else. So, yeah, we're big fans of Mexican food.
Oh man, you named some of my favorites. My mom, it's my birthday next month, and my mom makes enchiladas for me on my birthday, and it's just, you know.
Yep.
You know, just right there. Just right there. Oh, mi amigo. Hey. All right, let's close up shop. I want you to please feel free, pump anything you got. Anything you got coming up.
Yeah, so again, you can follow me on Twitter at MCBreeze11. Each week I do a DFS write-up for P2W Fantasy. I usually put it out either Friday or Saturday, just depending on how my schedule is. So be on the lookout for my week 7 DFS write-up on Twitter/X.
Oh man, definitely check it out. Definitely be on the lookout, familia. Definitely be on the lookout. Again, you guys know P2W, special place. So mi amigo here. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Commissioner Breeze, fue un gran placer. Just a great, great pleasure. Again, shout out to the cookout one more time. And yeah, we're going to close up shop. Hey, familia, make sure you're going to Familia FFB, the YouTube page. Give us a like. Give us a subscribe. Follow me at Jorge Martin 17 on Twitter. You're seeing all my content right now on Yahoo. So go check it out. I got weekly running back report, rookie report, all just hit. So check them out there. So, but again, once again, oh, by the way, also make sure you're checking out that Injury Prone podcast that I come out with Dr. Edwin Porras every Friday. So this is going to come out on Friday also. That one's going to come out a little bit afterwards. So, mi amigo, muchas gracias for joining us. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.